Lord, let's unite our hearts in prayer before we open his word. Lord, it is by thy grace that we have come together this morning, and thou hast brought us together again this afternoon. And we give thee thanks, O Lord, for this opportunity. We give thee thanks for the word that is before us, the freedom to gather. Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity and pray that we would be focused, that our minds and our hearts would be intently listening to thy spirit as he speaks to each one of us. Speak thou, Lord, mightily, awaken each one of us, alert us and bring us unto the full understanding of who thou art, Lord Jesus, that all answers to all things in this earth are found in thee. O Lord, may we always look to thee. And we pray this afternoon hour that thou bless our gathering and bless the reading and the meditation. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon service reading, I'd like to read, and with God's help, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, the first 26 verses. Prva knjiga Samuilova, 15. glava, 26 brojeva da se pročita. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being over Israel. I have read, dear ones, I believe that we really have a big lesson here in this chapter that we have read that is very applicable to us today, to each one of us. Because what we see here is a man of God, a servant of God, who sinned against God. And why did he do that? He was deceived. Who deceived him? He was self-deceived. He believed in his way rather than in God's way. And we see the danger of that. We see that entire world today, and has been since the sin of Adam. It lies in utter chaos and sin against God. There's wars, there's deaths, there's famines, there's everything that goes on in this world is because of man's sin in the garden. And the case of the world today continues to decay and get worse and worse, and is only because of one thing, and that is because the heart of man refuses to turn to its creator. And God is the answer. God has the answer for man. And we see in this chapter here that Samuel the prophet, he was the first of the prophets that came onto the scene after the law. And actually we hear about the law and the prophets often mentioned in the New Testament. The law and the prophets were those that, it was that which brought man to his sin. The recognition, sin is exposed to a man through the law and the prophets, who bring a way of a way out of that sin. And actually, we just read it last Sunday in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in where it says that where he will send Jesus Christ, which was preached before you in times past. If I could just find it, it says Moses. It says, yeah, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days that we are in right now, where Jesus Christ will come and provide. He will redeem his people and provide a way of salvation. And that salvation is a way that must be followed in absolute obedience. We cannot be self-deceived in our walk with God. Saul thought that he, as the king, was following God. But he strayed from God because he was deceived. Just as, no different than what happened in the garden. Eve was deceived, and Adam just flat out disobeyed. And then we come to this, to these two verses, verses 22 and 23, that are really just something that I know we reference to many times, where Samuel the prophet tells Saul, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" And so Saul was given a command. Back in the days of the Israelites, as they were traveling through the wilderness, the Amalekites, with no provocation at all, attacked them. And God had said at that time that he will destroy them from off the face of the earth. Why? Because he knew them. He knew the Amalekites. They were absolutely evil. And they were not turning to God. And God said he will visit them with a judgment. And the day of that visitation came through the king, King Saul. And it must be that Saul had saved others also, because we know that the Amalekites were not completely annihilated the way God had told him to do. Because later on we read in the book of Esther, we read that Haman, who he was an Amalekite, and he also sought to destroy all the Jews. His goal was to destroy the Jews. And so God had intended here, through Saul, and the Israelites to destroy the Amalekites from off the face of the earth because they were evil. And Saul, we find here, is a man who was deceived. It's really this disobedience that we see here. When he gathers the people together, he says, and even goes and even shows mercy to the Kenites, who are descendants of Moses' father-in-law, the Bible tells us. And he tells them, "Separate yourselves from the Amalekites, lest you get destroyed too." And they did. They moved out of the way completely, and he went on to do the work that God, the judgment that God had told him to carry out over the Amalekites, who were absolutely evil and had set out to destroy the Israelites. And so he received a commandment. And this is where we also, brothers and sisters, we have the Word of God. The last word that was delivered unto us was by none other than God himself through Jesus Christ. He gave us his will. He told us his commandment. He gave it to us. And now, are we like Saul? I say we are. Because how many times do we see someone do something and we condemn it? We condemn it. That is wrong until we do it. And then come, but we have a reason why. You don't know. You don't know the provocation. You don't understand what I know. And we always seek to minimize our sin, as Saul does. But when we read here, when Samuel comes to him, it's really interesting how Saul approaches Samuel. It says Samuel's coming to Saul, and Saul says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." He is absolutely deceived. He's with the prophet, and this prophet loved Saul. The Bible tells us he loved him, and they were good friends. And Saul comes to him, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." He feels he has absolutely fulfilled that which God told him to do. He's deceived. And that is something, and what did he do? He kept the best of the fatlings, the cattle that we read, the sheep and so on, for a good cause, I'm going to use that to sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. So So what does a man do? He reasons. He reasons, and he comes out with what? Something different than what God said. We reason all the time, brothers and sisters, my dear friends. Don't reason with yourself. You'll be deceived. Don't reason with flesh and blood. This is a spiritual warfare. You don't reason with our with this physical mind and body. We will always be deceived by ourselves. Self-deception is the greatest problem today and always has been since mankind fell. Eve was deceived. She reasoned. And that's why it says, what did we read here? That rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is he saying there? Because when we rebel against the commandment of God, okay, God has spoken. Who is there that is higher than God? But when we reason, when we look at the commandment of God, and now I reason, now I'm seeking another power. I'm seeking another divination to consult with. Is this really how I should do it? And so who do we don't go to some witch. Who do we go to? Myself. It's rebellion. I'm going to reason with myself, and I'm going to say, maybe as Saul did. Well, yeah, we're going to have some nice fat links. We're going to have some good stuff here. And maybe they're also thinking we're going to eat this stuff too, because they ate the sacrifices after they were offered. Whatever the reasoning was, they thought it was good. But that's witchcraft. When you seek something outside of God's commandment, his word, that's witchcraft. You're seeking another source of power, information, whatever we want to call it. And you take the word of God and you dismiss it, and you reason within yourself. The Bible says that's the sin of witchcraft. He's likening it to witchcraft. Who of us would go to a witch? Nobody. A witch. But he's saying that's the sin. And what happens then? He says, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Ultimately, the one that you seek advice from, that you find yourself, you're deceived, that's who you idolize, because that's who you're seeking. That's who you're seeking to please anyway. You're not seeking to please God Almighty. And so the idolatry, the stubbornness is as idolatry, because now you've turned to yourself as Saul did, and he was rejected. In other words, we can look in the Old Testament of Samson. Samson had all his power and might. It was endless. There's no end to his might. And he was deceived because he sought after that which pleased him. Delilah made him happy. And he sought after Delilah. And we know the story. As many times before, they would strap him up, and now he'd make shambles of his straps and so on, and he'd just rain down upon the Philistines, just destruction. But then when he spoke and told them where his strength lies, he's sleeping and they cut his hair. Wake up, Samson. The Philistines are upon you. And he goes and he can't break loose. Why? It says because he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Isn't that something that would cause us to just absolutely fall on our knees? That the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Samson and he didn't know it. Why? Because he was deceived. There was oftentimes we do many things. See, listen to this. He goes, I have performed. I have done the commandment. A lot of times we will do things. God doesn't need what's in your pockets. A lot of times we're going to do something to cover up the sin that I committed that I don't want to leave. So I'm going to do good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go feed these people. I'm going to go do. You're not going to do nothing. What God needs what you have. So what are you doing? You're looking to yourself for your salvation. What did David do when he sinned? Let not thy spirit depart from me. He fell upon his knees and prayed to God Almighty, forgive me. Do not take your spirit away from me. And many times, there was, we look in the New Testament, King Herod did the exact same thing. His brother's wife, Herodias, made him happy. He wanted her. He knew that was against the law. He knew that the law of God, the law of Moses, did not permit that, and he did it. Why? It pleased him. And John the Baptist, a prophet of the Lord, is told, go and tell the king to put away his wife. It is not lawful what he did. And John the Baptist, being in absolute obedience, he goes and does, knowing that he might lose his head because you're addressing a king. And he told the king, you are wrong in what you have done. And it tells us, the Bible tells us that the king Herod feared John the Baptist because he was a just man. And he was holy. That's what it says. He was just and holy. And he said, he went to him and he heard him. And it says, and he did many things. He did many things. Those things that John the Baptist was telling, he did many things. Trying what? To cover up for the sin that he did. But he didn't do the one thing that he was told by John the Baptist. Put away Herodias, your brother's wife. You cannot hang on to something and do something else knowing that you are in disobedience and expect the Lord God to say, turn his head the other way. Can't do that. But man does it. Has done it and continues to do it continually. My dear friends, you know, oftentimes we hear the word, about Jesus being my friend. You know, I can say Jesus is my friend all I want. Unless Jesus calls me his friend, I'm not. And if we turn to John 14, and this is easy to remember, John 14, 15, and then 15, 14. In 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 15, 14, he says, you are my friends. He's calling you a friend. If, he says here, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Abraham was called, who called him a friend? God did. He was a friend of God. When Abraham became a great man. Why? Because of his obedience to God. He had no idea of what was going to take place. He was being called out of his country into something totally new and different. God said, I'm going to create from you a people. Abraham obeyed God. It was counted unto him as righteousness. Obedience. Brothers and sisters and my dear friends, don't do. Don't try to do some heroic thing. You can't you can't do it. Just like the word tells the Ethiopian can't change his colors and a leopard his skin. You can't change your human nature either. It's God's work. But he tells you, child, give me your heart. My child, give me your heart. Jesus Christ took our human nature upon himself. We heard this morning what the brother mentioned. Satan will always tell you, just stay in this relationship. One more relationship, one more bottle of beer, one more sin, one more lust, one more. Deceiving us. Lying to us. Last week in the benediction, Brother John said, are you tired of the lies? Speaking to those who are not yet converted. Are you tired of the lies? You see that they're lies. It's continually lies, but we continually pursue lies. When are we going to sit and listen to the Word of God? The one in whom there is life. Samuel, his response to, he says, I have performed the commandment. Samuel says, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ear, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? What is that? Jesus talks about this very thing. To who? To you and me, brothers and sisters. I have, in your name, I have cast out devils. I have done that in your name. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. What means then this bleeding in my ears? Christ says he will say. What means this then? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But I did this. I went to this country and I did this heroic thing. No one else wanted to do it. I did this. I don't know you. You didn't obey me. You knew you didn't obey me. But you thought, you were self-deceived and you felt that that wasn't that big of a deal. When God says, and you know, and we could look at the liquor, the sales of liquor. They take and they tax the liquor. And they say they're going to take those taxes and build homeless shelters or, you know, so they're going to do something good out of something that is bad. That's the reasoning of man. Man does that all the time. So we're going to now do something good to cover up the bad that I'm doing. That's the heart of man. That's what Herod was doing. Many things, it says, he did. Many things. He feared John the Baptist because he was just and holy. The king fearing a nobody, but he was more than a nobody. He was God's prophet, and he knew that. But he couldn't get rid of his sin. Why? Because he was deceived. And he couldn't let go of that which pleased his flesh. You and I, brothers and sisters, it may not be something so blatant and obvious, but in our hearts we know when we transgress the commandment of God. It can be, it doesn't, don't ever minimize anything that we do. When we have to minimize, that means right there we're reasoning. That means I'm already involved in witchcraft and idolatry. I am reasoning with myself, it's not quite that bad. Oh, what's he talking about? What's this mean? What's this church mean? It's not that. It's not like that. You start reasoning and you don't search the scripture. You search your own wisdom. You search your own wisdom and not God's. And you're going to fall and keep sliding and falling away. And you're going to live absolutely deceived. Have you seen? I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel reminded him, when you were little, in your own sight, you knew. You come from the tribe of Benjamin, which was a nothing tribe. It was the smallest of the tribes. And he picked you who were nothing in that little nothing tribe and made you a king over all the tribes. Who did that? God did that. When you knew you were a nobody and a nothing, God lifted you up. Brothers and sisters, when we were nobodies, God's love was still upon us and he lifted us up. And he gave and gave us his divine nature. That's who you and I are to consult. That's who we are to turn to, that divine nature of God that he gives you, a new heart and a new life. The Spirit of God dwelling within us to lead us and to guide us. Don't ignore him. Don't reason with yourself. Don't reason with your neighbor. Don't try to be smarter than the Word of God. It's witchcraft and idolatry, flat out. What means then this bleeding? I don't need what's in your pockets. I don't need anything you have, God says. My child, give me your heart. Amen.